Hi there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Part of our conversation, which we will talk about here in a second for the series, is, yes, been talking about truth, which we are called to rally around as a group of people, believers, in all different stages and ages and different places. That's what God calls the church, as a group of people together. The series is being unified, but we don't just talk about concepts. Our hope would be in hope that we talk about practical application, the how, the when, the why, all the real things of real life, which is part of the reason, believe it or not, that we are called Real Life Ministries. So a 26-year celebration, that's pretty cool. 1 year here in this building, that's pretty cool. But the conception of Real Life Ministries was called Real Life Ministries on purpose because it was always intended to be giving and receiving ministry in real life. Like, for real, is what we're saying. I think a lot of life can be something that is not real, if that makes sense. Lots of fake, lots of acting, lots of fear-based decisions. We're running, we're hiding. We're going to talk about what's true today, hopefully again. But a lot of this conversation on hope is going to be practical application. And each week here, if you come to our Coeur d'Alene campus, whether it's me or Christian or Michael or anybody else, you're always going to get an invitation to make that real and applicable for you this morning. So no different today. We're going to talk about hope, what it is and what it's not. The invitation for you today is going to be able to ask yourself, what am I really exhibiting in my life of what my hope is? Not what I think, not just what I say, but what am I doing? How am I acting? Where's my belief? And this hope concept is tied to a lot of things we've talked about already in this series. Things like faith, things like being unified into one body and having a belief of what is true. So today we get to talk about hope. We're going to be all over in the text. We're going to spend a whole bunch of time in Romans today. So maybe today you walk away out of Romans going, Romans and hope, and Romans and hope, and it's a good reminder. But we're going to start where we always do, which is our core verse for this entire series. We're going to look at Ephesians to set up our conversation, and then we're going to dive in. So if you have your Bible or if you have your notes, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 has been the baseline of this conversation. And it goes like this. The prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And so right smack dab in the middle, we see that there's a hope that we were called to when we were called. And the question for us today is, what is hope? A few conversations ago, we asked ourselves the question, not do I have faith, but where or what is my faith in? Same jam today, y'all. Not do you have hope, it's what kind of hope do you have? Or what is your hope in? And oftentimes we can have hope in the things that are seen, the things that are controlled, the things of this world over the creator of it. And so today we get to do a hope assessment. In other words, you could ask yourself, what are you full of today? Maybe we're thinking something different. We're talking about hope. Talking about hope, what kind of hope is overflowing in your life today? So we should probably get at it. Definitions. Let's talk about some definitions today. What is defined as hope? Jumping into the Old Testament through the Bible, a couple Hebrew words for us. The first one is the word kava, and it means to wait. It means to wait. Not only just to wait, but qualitatively with expectation, waiting with expectation, and hopeful. Hopeful waiting is the baseline of hope. If we move forward, there's another noun. It's the word tikva, and it means literally like a rope or a cord, something that you would be attaching with, tied to, or bound up by. Make sense? Like a rope, a cord, chain, a ratchet strap for some of you, right? It's a literal, physical, binding tool is the word picture for hope, and it's to attach, and is to long for. Okay, so we have a bound to, tied up concept. We have a waiting, which speaks of time and anticipation. And then we get to kind of an attached noun, which is the word mikveh, which is very similar to mikvah. Mikvah, if you'd looked to last week and a few weeks before, is this concept of cleansing and washing through a moving or a gathered water. But the word mikveh for this week means to abide or to be gathered together as in a collection, whether it's water or people is part of our definition. And it means hope. It means, again, a linen yarn. That's our cord to be bound to. And it means plenty of water, as in like a pond. So when you put all three of those concepts together, at least from our Hebrew language, you're going to see that there's a hopeful waiting, speaking of time. It's not immediate. It's not right now. It's not something I can control. It's not something I can make myself. True? It's something I must wait on. Anticipation. Now, if we put those pieces together, it's what am I bound to, attached to, that I hopefully wait upon, which is a belief that it's enough, that it's going to be there for me, that it is something I joyfully can look forward to. That's the big description of our word hope. If we jump into the New Testament, there's a typo in your notes there. It's G1680 if you're looking for the specific word. Things like that I pay attention to. So if you do 1680, the word elpis comes from the word elpo. It means to anticipate usually with pleasure. And this is where we're really going to dig in today. This is where hopefully you hear this and it starts to strike a chord for you. It's an expectation, like we've talked about, when your expectation or your anticipation in waiting is positive or it's good, that is defined as hope. When it's negative or it's bad, it's defined as fear. So I'm going to repeat that again. All of our definitions for today, we talk about waiting and hopeful and anticipation, that I'm bound to it, that I'm committed to it, that I'm waiting for it. When that's positive and good, for the things that God says is true, that's called hope. When it's anticipating and hopeful, and I know that it's going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait, and I'm attached to it, and it's negative, and it's bad, it's called fear. Where's your hope today? Is your hope positive or negative? Is your anticipation what you look forward to when you're waiting? Is it for the good? Is it for the promises? Is it for what's true? Or does it tend to be for what's bad and what's going to go wrong? Now we get to see a difference here in these terms, which is what I love and hate at the same time. Is you can have hope that's good and you can have hope that's bad. You can have hope that's positive and you can have hope that's negative. You can have a hope in the things that God says is true, or you can have a hope in the things that you think are true. And we get to talk about that today. That's the conversation for hope. Now, we already know our answer, so we're going to repeat it again, right? What's our hope in? Jesus. Well, man, that seems like a different conversation. So we can say our hope's in Jesus. The question is, how are you hoping? What are you really hoping for? Because hope is not intended to be something that you do after you die, right? Today, tomorrow, yesterday, the beginning of your story, however long God gives you breath, we're called to have a living hope in the living hope, which is Jesus. So how do you live out your hope today? Is it something that's positive or negative? Is it good or bad, if you would say? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about how we can have a sort of a filter of this good and bad hope. And he talks about what our eyes are, meaning how do you see? What do you look for? What are the lenses that you wear? And he says, if you have good or healthy eyes, that you will be a person of light, which means you will see truth and emanate it as well. If you have bad eyes or dark eyes or negative eyes, that you're looking for what's going to happen in a negative way, you're talking about it, you're believing in it, then the eyes of your life will be darkened. He says, how dark is that darkness that you become? So when we talk about hope today, what sort of glasses are you wearing? What sort of eyes do you have? What sort of living life do you have? Is it one with hopeful anticipation in Jesus and what he says the kingdom is now? Or maybe we're finding ourselves going, man, I have a whole bunch of hope. I'm full of hope, but it's dark and it's negative and it's poor and it's grinding and it makes me a person of darkness, not a person of light. Where's your hope at today? When you look at a kind of a rounded out definition, hope is waiting and with expectation and anticipation regarding a matter that is already settled and absolutely certain. So hope is not wishful thinking. Who's heard that before? I just hope, 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 hope. Please, 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 please. This time's my time for the lottery. It is, I know. But a hopeful anticipation is not just wishful thinking. The word used in the Bible is something that is absolutely certain that you can look forward to. Now you have to ask yourselves, what are the things that are absolutely certain that we can look forward to? What are the things in your life that you're hoping for, meaning with absolute certainty, that aren't absolutely certain at all? What are some things that we should have hope in? So it's looking forward to a matter that's already settled, and it is pleasurable anticipation of belief. That's a weird word to put in there, huh? A pleasurable anticipation? Now, who thinks of hope and you're like, it's the worst thing ever having to wait? Patience is terrible. I don't want to wait. I'm not a person of patience. Yeah, perseverance. Yeah, all that. Like, now. I don't know, now. I got to have it now. I got to have assurance now. The only positive thing in my life is that which I can control and that which I have and that which is fully done. Well, your definitions are the same. The question is, in what? Pleasurable anticipation of belief and is a byproduct of genuine abiding. Hope is a byproduct of genuine abiding. What does abide mean? Remain. Yep, absolutely. It's a fantastic definition. Dependent. That's a big potential Christianese churchy word, to abide in Christ. We're like, yes, what does that mean? I don't know. Abiding means to remain. It means to have all of the words that we've talked about a lot in this series, trust and hope and belief that leads to action. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of my environment, regardless of what they said or I did, is that abiding is a remaining relationship, a trusting belief in God, the word of God, and the messages that Jesus lived out. When we do that, meaning if you choose to abide in Christ, we believe that it's also abiding with others, being in relationship, living out the practical living of the gospel truth. When we do that, we are living out hope. We're living out belief. We're living out faith. And in the instances when we choose not to, we're not being a people of faith and belief and hope. It doesn't mean we don't have hope, or we don't have enough, or we don't have enough faith, or we don't have enough belief, right? Some of us write a story in the Bible that's not there. We pick up the idea of guilt and shame and not good enough and I don't have enough and I failed again. I think God offers us the ability to say, when you walk out in hope, here's how it is. When we are a people of faith, here's how it goes. As we believe, this is how it is. And when we choose not to, or we have negative lenses on, then this is also how it is. The Bible gives us a definition, I think it's fantastic, of faith and hope. It's in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is a confidence in what we hope for and for an assurance about what we do not see. A whole bunch of very similar words there. Faith, we talked about a few weeks ago, is confidence. Is confidence a part of hope? Absolutely. And faith and hope work together with a confidence in what we do not see. Ah, that's that part where we go, have to have trust, have to have a little belief. So there's our definitions. We're going to ask ourselves some questions here for practical application, and then we're going to dive into a whole bunch of scripture that's going to detail us what hope is. And we're going to talk about the oft-used who, what, when, where, why, and how, because we just are. Okay? Who, what, when, where, why, and how of hope. Let's just start off by asking those questions. Who is your hope in? Is it in the Lord? Is it in God? Is it in his word? Is it in you? Is it in somebody else? What is your hope in? The gospel? The stock market? Your ability? The government? Not too many hands up in that one. Doesn't mean we don't participate. We'll talk more about that in the next few weeks. But what is your hope in? Is it in the hope of what God says is true? Is it in the hope of things that are unseen? Who's it in? What's it in? How are you hoping? Right? You know that I love asking the how questions. How are you hoping? Does the way that you live match that in which you have hope in? Why do you hope? Why should we hope? Why not hope? Who, what? When do you hope? Like at church on Sunday? It's the only time we hope? We hope in the lobby? Hi, 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 good, good, good. Brother. Coffee's not very good, but I'm hopeful. Just today for 27 more minutes, and then it's back into the deep end, and there's no hope for me at all. Right? And I'm playing a little bit, right? But I'm trying to elicit an environment for us to think through. So, a couple questions. Gave some extra blanks in your notes if you have them to actually write some things down to have conversations with people about when we're talking about hope. Again, let's use our definitions. Positive or negative, right? Something that I'm actually bound to, that I believe is going to always be there, that is true, right? With a choice for the things that I haven't yet seen, but I believe will be there. That's hope. So number one, what do you hope? What do you hope for? If you were to ask that question, what are you hopeful for? What are some answers to that if you were to just talk to people on the regular? What do you hope for? Right now, so many people are hoping that it is not gonna be winter. Right? Now, if we're talking about how and who and why and if our life and actions match it, here's how I can say that and you laugh. Because most of the people that you talk to today are like, how's it going? Great. What's new? It's beautiful outside today. Isn't it? It's gonna snow pretty soon. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about how the weather's gonna be bad. Let's talk about how it's gonna get dark. Let's talk about how it's already dark. Let's talk about how my flowers are dying. Let's talk about all the bad things. Let's talk about how good summer used to be that it's not anymore. Talk, belief, I'm bound to, I'm acting on. It's the point of my conversation. It's what I'm looking forward to. I know it's coming because you're never ever gonna get away from winter, are you? You can't. It's gonna be here. I'm gonna tell everybody about it. Do you get my point? I'm talking, I'm pondering, I know it's coming, I'm gonna prepare for it, I'm gonna look at it. Actually, I don't prepare for it very well. I don't even know where my snow shovel is. That's a hope that is not gonna come to fruition. Like, it's just not, right? Some people hope that it's not gonna be that bad. Some people are so anticipatory for Christmas this year. That's a good one. Is Christmas coming this year? Yeah. It's already done. It's going to happen. It's going to be here unless the Lord comes back. Right? We talk about it. We anticipate for it. We plan for it. A lot of us are already putting money aside or planning on how we're going to figure out to get that money back. Right? Where are we going? What's our schedule? Whose house are we going to be at? Oh my goodness, these relationships again, positive and negative. Can't wait to gather with my family. Cannot wait to gather with my family. In all sorts of different, you're like, you're talking to me, right? Positive and negative. What do you hope for? Some of us hope for that new job. Some of us hope for that new relationship. Some of us hope for that next chance. We hope because we show it in how we live, how we talk and how we act, what we do with our schedules, what we do with our time, what we do with our relationships, what we don't do with them. Again, hope can be a negative connotation, right? That we're building and we're planning and we're positioning ourselves out of protection and not out of hope, but what was that other word? It was fear. The word defined, fear and application, a hopeful anticipatory expectation of that which is bad is a version of hope. It's belief that not good things are gonna come our way, that it's already been done, that I'm bound to it, per our definition, that the thing I think about, the thing that I'm waiting for is the next shoe to drop, the next problem to happen, the next negative thing to occur. And what Jesus tells us throughout the entirety of the text, which I believe is a truth, is he will allow you to think on that and focus on that. But he invites us not to. He invites us to think and ponder and believe and act on his promises, his faithfulness, his goodness, the potential in any and all situations. We have the ability to have eyes that see, that bring light into our body, that produce hope and joy and patience and peace, the fruit of the Spirit, that in application is in any time and any place, or the opposite of that. I can't wait for the bad things to happen again, and I want to tell everybody about it, and as soon as they will happen, I'm going to tell you that I told you so. Dark eyes, poor light, bringing darkness into any situation. The antithesis of hope, a body of fear, a life that is not hopeful. Making sense this morning? And I'm just throwing out a whole bunch of different scenarios and a whole bunch of different words and a whole bunch of different ideas so that hopefully inside of your own self right now, through the work of God's word and the Holy Spirit, you can ask yourself, how am I? Do I want to be that way? Is there any way that I can be different? Now the idea of hope starts to come together, doesn't it? Because there is a hope that says, yes, you can be different. You can have redemption. You can have a renewed mind. You can have a hope and support from a group of people that believe in the gospel. Yes, you can, the body of Christ, right? Yes, you can, but the choice is always yours. What do you hope for? Some of these rest of the questions before we dive into the text. What do you have a confidence in that is supported by your words, your will, and your walk? What do you have confidence in? If you were to ask yourself, what's the thing I'm most confident in? What would you say? If you were to ask your kids or your spouse, what would they say? If you were to ask your coworkers, if they say, hey, what does Tim have the most confidence in? What would they say? Oftentimes, you know what the answer of that has been in my life? Me. I have the most confidence in me. I think I'm right all the time. And so do you, to a certain degree. Otherwise, you wouldn't do what you do. You wouldn't say what you say. Unfortunately, a lot of times, my hope is in myself. My own ability to maneuver, my own ability to produce, my own ability to figure things out. The way that I live and the way that I speak and the way that I talk, when I'm not walking in confidence of who God is, if I'm not trusting, if I'm not surrendered to his word and his will and his way, it's always mine. And if you listen to other people talk, they'll tell you the same thing. Part of our discipleship process that we talk about as a church is what's called the phrase from the stage, or out of the heart, the overflow of the mouth speaks. If you listen to a person long enough, well, first you have to be in relationship with people to actually ask questions and not be about ourselves only. I've had a hard season of that too. To listen to what people say, they'll tell you what they believe in, and what their hope is in, what their confidence is in. And for some of us, it's our wealth. For some of us, it's our abilities. For some of us, it's our business. For some of us, it's anything that we can do and produce ourselves. What do you have confidence in? Because the definition of hope includes confidence, right? What do you have confidence in? What are you willing to wait for? What do you wait for today in your life? Nothing. Nothing. It's been 17 seconds and my coffee's not ready. Unbelievable. Now, what do you wait for? Traffic, right? Nope. All right, what is the world feeding you? Should you ever wait? You should never wait. You deserve to never have to wait on anything. You should be waited on, right? What do you wait for today? If you're literally ask yourself, what do you wait for? Do you wait for the things that are good? Do you wait anticipation with positive? What are you waiting for? Some of us are like, ooh, I know this one. We already talked about it. Summer. Like, I'm waiting. I can't wait. Right? For some of us in here that enjoy hunting, sometimes it's like, I can't wait until right now. I can't wait. And the day it's over, you're like, I can't wait till next year. What do you wait for with positive, hopeful anticipation that you know is going to bring you what? What is it going to bring you? Yeah, right? You wait on things with hopeful anticipation that bring you life, bring you joy, that bring you happiness, that bring you purpose, that you know is worth waiting for. Right? Now you start to hear all the things that the world says. If it's worth it, it's worth waiting for. Right? Those good things come to those who wait. What do you actually wait for? What are the things you don't wait for? Should those things switch? Should you wait for the good things of God that he promises? Yeah. Are you? I don't know. That's a hard one for me. I don't want to wait. I want it now. I want the good things of God now. And then I can start to spin it to say, if the good things of God don't happen now, then maybe God's not good. Or maybe it couldn't be that his timing's not right, because I want it now. And this concept of hope gets put on the desk for us. What am I willing to wait for? What am I willing to hopefully fight to remain positive for? Oof. Now that's a whole different sort of a conversation. I'm really good at being forced to wait and being just horrendously negative and letting everybody know about it all the time. I'm a really good constant complainer. And then even when God is ultra faithful to do the things that he's already promised that I know that are true, I'll just complain about it the whole time and be like, wow, would have been nice if it was earlier. Or would have been nice if it was more. Would have been nice if it would have been my way. Dark eyes, fear life, negative. A hope is to be joyfully positive towards the things of God. Now, even sometimes when God is ultra faithful to be into his promises, not mine, in his methodology, not mine, even when they do come to fruition, and it's an opportunity to praise God and show him glory and be the hope of the world to the world, I just choose not to and go, wow. I mean, I earned it. I mean, I'll tell everybody about how good I am, bring glory to myself, or there won't be any positive at all. We'll just tell them about how bad it was all the way here, and then we'll just push the good things aside, and then hopefully anticipating and with energy and effort, tell everybody about the next bad thing that's going to happen. And then go, who wants to know more about Jesus? Right? And I go, well, yeah, I mean, the good news is in here somewhere. I mean, it's really good, but let me tell you about all the bad things. Let me tell you about all the things God hasn't done. Let me tell you about all the things that I've had to wait for that I didn't have to. Let me tell you about my road's been harder than hers and more difficult than his, right? We can be a people that are so hopefully focused on the negative that we're actually living out fear, not hope. What do you wait for today? What's your confidence in today? What are you willing to hope for? And we just keep going right down the list. What do you always believe will be there no matter what? What do you always believe is going to be there no matter what? There's an intentional pause on that one because that should make you go, there's things I really want to be there. And then some of us think of our story and we go, you know, I'm not going to hope again because I used to hope in the things I thought were always going to be there and they're definitely not. He's not here anymore. He's gone. She's gone. It's gone. I thought for always it was going to be there. It's not. Therefore, I will never hope again. You hearing me this morning? What is it that we hope for? What is our confidence in? What do we have a belief that will always be there? Now, we already know our answer, right? It just brings a little more gravity when we say the things that we are to hope for are the things that are eternal, the things that are promised by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The way and the when and the how and the who of the gospel is what we can have our hope in. And they're phenomenally positive, even when it's really hard, even in the midst of when challenging things happen. Because God is a creator of this world, and he says that there's good and bad. People make choices. There's going to be difficulties and trials. But in the midst, I'm inviting you to have hope in the promises that I have that will bring joy and peace that surpasses all understanding. But it might not always be the way you want, in the time that you want, with whom you want, where you want it, which is the goal of us to see that it's greater than just us, just myself in my own story. So we get to ask ourselves these questions. What do you gather around? What do you celebrate with people? Christian made mention that God likes to celebrate. God likes to party. He does. He does. God invites us to celebrate with each other for his name's sake, for truth, for the kingdom. That we would gather as we do in the mornings together to point to him, to celebrate that which is good, to be motivated, to love one another, to sharpen iron with one another, to minister to and be ministered for others, for other people. We gather together, we hope together, we look forward with anticipation together, the things that God says are true. So let's dive into his word here, and we just get to read a whole bunch of scripture, and hopefully as we go through this, this is going to be just how we're going to slowly land our message for this morning. Do you have ears to hear what's true, that you'd let God speak to your heart, to your soul today, to your mind and your decisions and your schedule and potentially those things that bind you to the world rather than Jesus? And let's just be reassured in our confidence. Let's be built up in our hope. Let's be willing to have clear, light eyes to look into the word with anticipation of what is true for how God invites us to be a people of hope. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Man, even in two verses, he just covered the entirety of the definitions and the concept of hope. So we look at it. Praise be to who? God. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, he's given us new birth into a dead hope. Living hope. Living hope in Jesus and a living hope in what God offers us for our own life through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never what? Perish, spoil, or fade. What is it that we look forward to with hopeful anticipation that we know with ultra confidence is already finished, never undone, and will always be what it's going to be? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's already done. Can't be undone. With 100% confidence, we can look into the reality that the gospel message about the creator of everything's son has gone to the grave and is resurrected. We can have hope and assurance and confidence in that it's already done. Amen? This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Can it be taken? That's pretty good news. That's something we can rely on. That's something we can put our cup full of every day. That's something we can be full of. There's a belief that it's already done and it can't be undone, that it's kept bound by faith and a belief and the one that says when you believe, your inheritance is kept in heaven. You can't like lose that along the way. Your bad attitude isn't gonna get that stolen from you today. Right? It's kept. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven, whom through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though thou for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Let's read that one again. In all this, you greatly rejoice that now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Is hope dependent on going the good way, the easy way, the sufferless way, the trialless way? Is hope bound to the reality of our circumstances? No. He calls it temporary. In temporary difficulty, the hope and the belief in the gospel of Jesus still is eternal and still remains. Now for a little while, you have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that you may, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Here's a different way to say that. In your trial, and in your struggle, and in your difficulty, it is an opportunity for your belief to be put on display. It's opportunity. Not you have to prove it, sometimes it can be misread, but in the season that you're in the relationships that you're in the circumstances that you're in, financial, good, bad, whatever opportunity you have, God says it's in that you get the ability to put on display your faith and your hope, that it may be revealed to the world based on the belief and the hope that you have. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving at the end result of your faith the salvation of your souls. Isaiah 40 says a similar in 29:31. He gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not be faint. When you're tired, do you have hope? Even when the kids get tired is what this says. I'm not sure that part's true. Even youths grow tired. Even we have difficulty, even when there's trial. Those that have the hope in the Lord will have their strength renewed. Where does their strength come from? The Lord. Some of you in here just needed to hear that. The strength that doesn't come from you. Try harder, be better, do more, prove it. The strength comes from the Lord. And he gives strength when we have hope. That he will renew it. That he will provide. When we believe in what he says is truth and how to live. Romans 5, a whole bunch of Romans here. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Again, it's done. The gospel of Jesus says that it's done and our belief in him is evidenced by the hope that we have. And our hope is not something that is to be shameful to us. Anybody ever feel like they don't want to share the hope that they have? Somebody might say something, somebody might do something. Holy Spirit is going to be the person that gives us hope. Should not be something that puts us to shame. Romans 8 says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pangs of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For this is the hope in which we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The anticipation of new bodies, the new creation, the new full redemption of all creation is that we just groan for it inwardly. We know that there's more to this life than what it is. We know that the trial and the struggle of this place is temporary compared to eternity and the eternal life that Christ offers. That patiently we wait for it, maybe not happily, but patiently with perseverance and long suffering, that in that process, character is built. That in our character, our hope is shown. That along the way, we may have good, positive hope and we may fall back into a negative fear-based, but that the choice is ours. That part has been already done through the gospel of Jesus. In Romans 12, as we end, here's how we hope. Who we hope in is Jesus. When we hope in him is always. Why we hope in him is because of the gospel message. How we live out a life of hope, Romans 12. Starts off by saying our love must be sincere. A sincere love comes from a hope, a belief, a faith that God is good and what he says is true. Emanating a sincere love is what comes from a person that is hopeful. Hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be bound in hope, corded, tethered to that which is good. Flee from, unhook from that which is evil. Hope allows us to make those decisions, to cling to that which is positive, to run away and cleave from that which is negative. Hope resulted in action. Do you see even right there? Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep up your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Have joy. Be joyful in our hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it's possible, be peaceable. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, his, or it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head, but do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's whole lots of passages like that within the text. So the foundation of belief and faith comes with hope. The one hope that we were called to be unified in is in the saving gospel message of Jesus, but the living everyday hope in which we choose to live our lives in as well. The united body of the church is to be one in hope, one in faith. For there's one God, one Father, one Lord of all, one Spirit. And there's one hope that we were called to. When you were called by God, will you choose to be a person that believes positively in anticipation with what he says is true and not your experiences and not your own belief? A very basic concept, but an unbelievable full life of faith and belief to walk it out. Amen? The team's going to come forward. They're going to pass out some communion elements today. This is kind of a middle summarizing statement for all the ones that we've watched here in this series. Our hope is to be in Jesus. The who and the how and the when is to walk that part out.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.